Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, bless as we look into your word this evening. Meet the deepest and the most earnest of needs. And Father, encourage us and build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the new things in the life of a believer as we start the new year. We're beginning with this series. We have seen the new covenant and the fact that there is a new covenant for believers, the new covenant in Christ's blood. We had the wonderful opportunity to observe the Lord's table as we observed that new covenant and all of the implications for the believer. Then last Sunday evening, we saw the new life that is ours in Jesus Christ and the implications of eternal life. Now, this evening, we're going to be looking at a third aspect of a new work that is ours in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is our new access that we have to the Father, and we can rejoice in that. And as we have shared special prayer requests and shared from our hearts during the Sunday school and morning service, we would earnestly ask each one of you to utilize this great access that is ours on behalf of your brothers and sisters in Christ and those matters that have been entrusted to us to pray for one another. You know, access is an important concept today. Everybody wants to be in contact. Everyone wants access. But just to show you how important it is, consider the aspect of access when it even comes to child custody issues. You know, we're living in a day where the family is fragmented and divided. There are fathers that are being denied access to their children less frequently, but also mothers that may have access to their children. There may have been a divorce. The courts have granted custody to children of spouses where access is a big issue when we talk about child custody. And anyone involved in Sunday school ministry or daycare ministries or any type of ministry involving children know how desperately complicated these issues can be. And access is an important concept, even in our society today. Consider with me the plight of refugees. You know, immigration is a big topic today. There are many from other countries that want to come in because they desire access to family members that are already here in the United States. Consider the plight of refugees that have been driven out of their homes and they live in vast camps, sleeping in tents, and don't have access to their homes. Think of believers in Syria and in other countries where they have been driven from their homes because of their faith. We even see that in many of the books of the Word of God, where believers were scattered abroad, such as at the time of the writing of the book of James. Consider the subject of access and how important it is for individuals that may be prisoners. Visiting rights are oftentimes restricted for people in prison. They don't have access any time they want to be able to see their wives or see their children or whatever the case might be. They just can't enjoy a meal or a night out with them. They're programmed to stipulated times under very stringent conditions. Yes, access is an important concept today, isn't it? Think about the subject of army camps and installations. You just can't go into a military installation anytime you want and just say, you know what, I think I'm going to dine at the officers' club tonight. And you've never been in the military, you have no access. But interestingly enough, if you happen to be with someone that does have access and they have the right sticker on their windshield, you'll get a salute rather than a gun barrel pointed at you. And they'll allow you to have access when you have the right authorization on your side. Consider governmental buildings. And recently, I think it's been about 36 years now. How many of you remember the courthouse shooting with Provenzano in the Orlando courthouse when he walked right into a courthouse with a sawed-off 18.5-inch shotgun and started blowing people away? That was before the courthouses had metal detectors. But as a result of Provenzano, who was executed finally over a decade later, now there's limited and very strict access to government buildings. You can go to 10 Downing Street and you'll see that there are armed police guards and no one is able to enter into that location in England without proper authorization. You can go to attempt to see the President of the United States and say, you know what, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind. Well, you just can't walk in without proper credentials, proper clearances, and a specific invitation from the President or those who have the authority to do so. Consider the matter of medical professionals. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just walk in to your doctor's office anytime you wanted a prescription or you had a specific malady or something that was a concern to you? But what do you have to do? Well, if you're going to see a specialist, sometimes, depending on your health plan, you have to make sure that you go through your primary care physician and have a prescription to see him and this, that, and the other. If you happen to have a supplement, it may be a little easier, but still you just can't walk in. You have to have an appointment, and the secretary has to have you in the book. You see, everything is dependent on access. Brother Ken Rigby is traveling to England. And, you know, access in other countries depends on a visa. And what Brother Ken is going to have to do is that when he gets off of the plane in London, he's going to have to get in a long line with his passport. He's going to show it to an immigration officer in London, and he's going to have his passport stamped with a visa. And specific questions are going to be asked as to the nature of why he happens to be there. Then think about access. How many of you have ever had trouble even accessing your own accounts on the computer? You forgot the username. You seem to have forgotten the password or whatever the case might be. And here you are in your own financial accounts, you're having trouble getting access. So access is something that is very important. But you know, the greatest of all of the accesses that we can have is that which has been freely given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No amount of money, no amount of political influence, no amount of arm twisting can get you that type of access, save only through the precious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at four considerations this evening with regard to our access to God. And for our first consideration, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis, and we're going to look at man's original state of bliss. Notice what it says here in chapter 2 and verse 7. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This speaks of man's original and blessed state. And we're going to be going to chapter 3 in a moment, but establishing here first man's original blessed state. He received the breath of life from the Lord. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. Do you see the Lord lovingly doing these things for man? And it says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Don't we have a loving God who has cared for us? Oh, he did so for Adam and Eve, as we would see later on as Eve arrives on the scene, that she herself would enjoy of these things. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and of course the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And notice Adam's responsibility, verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. God's word establishing the context of the fall of man. Satan having already fallen from heaven, as we studied last Wednesday night. As we see, Satan has fallen, approaching Eve in the form of a serpent, tempting Eve to disobey the Lord, to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the word of God says, Eve saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired. And the word of God says, they ate of it and their eyes were opened. They knew that they had sinned. And notice, beginning with verse 7, their eyes were opened. This here is that period of time now where the dispensation of the conscience would begin. Their eyes were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Now let's go to chapter 3 and verse 8 here. The word of God says, they heard after they sinned against God, as we read here in verses 6 through 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. See, this describes man's original state before the fall. It was customary for them to walk, as it were, in the garden in the cool of the day. The word ruah, the cool of the day, the breeze, the wind of the day, probably towards the evening. Adam and Eve would walk with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, but now Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But man's original blessed state was that the Lord cared for Adam and Eve. There was that access between him and the Father, Adam and Eve and the Father. But now let's look at the second consideration, and that is found, number two, that access was blocked by the fall of man. Look, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Well, his responsibility was to till the ground, but don't forget the results of the curse found in chapter 3 and verse 18. As he would till the ground, as a result of sin, thorns and thistles would that ground bring? And it would be through the sweat of his face that he would work and that he would labor. So here, access is blocked as we continue to read. It says here in verse 24, he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And this was a mixed consideration. First of all, the sad part about it was that man was now separated from God. That wonderful access that was enjoyed in the first blessed state was now blocked by the fall of man. And we see it in this portion of Scripture here. Now, the merciful aspect of this consideration is that since Adam was now a sinner, and lest he live forever under that state of sin, under the state of chapter 3 and verse 18, where he would be working by the sweat of his brow with no end in sight, the Lord takes away his immortality, and he no longer will live forever, no longer have that access to the tree of life. But the point is, the fellowship, the access is now broken. But I want you to notice, thirdly, that when it comes to access in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there was a representative access that was established through the law of Moses. And we know that certain groups of people were able to be granted access. For instance, if you look at the book of Exodus, chapter 29, Exodus chapter 29 and verse 44. The word of God says, I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So the priesthood, they had the right, the privilege, the responsibility to go directly to God. They could pray and talk to God and worship and fellowship. Everyone else had to go through the priest. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, representing the people in providing access to God's presence. And even the sacrificial system of the Old Testament could only cover sin. It could not do away with it. And we know that when a person in the Old Testament died, they did not go directly into the presence of the Lord. Brother Jim Forbes is directly in the presence of God. But if he were an Old Testament saint prior to the coming of Christ, he would go to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is mentioned in Luke chapter 16 and later in the account of the thief on the cross, that same term, paradise, is used, which was the temporary place for Old Testament saints until Jesus would come and once for all shed his blood that we might have eternal life. And then the Word of God says, through the finished work of the Lamb of God, the last Adam, who would die on the cross for our sins. Then the Old Testament saints, at the ascension of Christ, were able to have direct access into the presence of God. And of course, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 describes, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. And the Word of God says, he ascended into heaven. And those just men made perfect through the crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ, having direct access. So we can see access was broken. It was once a blessed access that Adam and Eve had. It was broken by sin. Through the sacrificial system, there was a representative access. But now, through the new covenant, we have access provided by the new covenant under grace. You know, access is found three times in the New Testament. If you want to jot down these scriptures, we'll look at them in a few moments. But you have Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that mentions access. Then you have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, that uses the term access. And then, of course, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. Three things we want to look at, though, about this matter of access. The first one that I want you to look at is found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and that is that we have access into grace by faith. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you will, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. That's a declaration. Literally, having been justified. It's an aorist participle. It carries the idea of what has already taken place. Having been justified by faith, those that have trusted in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the word access. By whom also we have access by faith. We have access by faith. Then turn to another scripture that speaks about our access by faith as we trust in Christ as personal Savior. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. God's word says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You know, it's interesting, the King James only, the King James alone translates this verse by the faith of him. It gives the impression that it's Christ's faith. But actually, the original carries the idea that it is the faith of man receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And virtually all other translations do translate in that fashion as an objective genitive. Through faith in Christ, it refers to our faith in Jesus Christ, not his faith, you see. And faith is, in effect, the hand of the heart reaching out. We are justified by faith. And that's the response, God opening the heart and man receiving the truth of the gospel. And that's the concept there. We have access into grace by faith. But notice another usage of the word access is found when we look at the fact that we have access unto the Father. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Isn't it interesting when it uses the term both? It's speaking about both Jew and Gentile. You know, our congregation is built up. We have some fewer, but some that are Jewish. And then we have others, mostly in our congregation, that are Gentiles. But look at verse 14. He is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That alludes to a wall in the temple that partitioned off the court of the Gentiles from the area that was accessible only to the Jews. And it says here in the Word of God in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man. That phrase, new man, is a reference to the church composed of both Jew and Gentile. By the way, the church could never have existed in the Old Testament. And when you ever do see the phrase church, ecclesia, such as in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it just refers to a general congregation of people. But when we speak about the church, the mystery fulfilled, it is after, always after, the cross work of Christ. Because it's through the cross work of Christ that the church can begin. Because the church is composed of Jew and Gentile. And there could never be a new man were it not through the cross work of Christ. Therefore, some of you that perhaps were raised in a Baptist background, there are some groups of Baptists that believe that John the Baptist was the first Baptist preacher and that the church began with John the Baptist. And yet, the church could never have begun with John the Baptist because, number one, John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. Number two, the church is composed of Jew and Gentile composed as one body. That happened after the cross. John the Baptist came before the cross. So you see, the concept of that idea, and many of you have read the book, The Trail of Blood by Carroll, and it has a lot of good things in it, but it's dispensationally incorrect. But notice, the new man, how was it formed? That he might reconcile both unto God in one body, finish it with me, by the cross. The church began after the cross work of Jesus Christ, fully revealed the day of Pentecost when indwelling actually began. And the Word of God says, through him we both have access. Isn't it wonderful that both Jew and Gentile, whatever you might be, equally we have access to come before the throne of grace. We have access into grace by faith. We have access unto the Father. And the Word of God teaches us that in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 13. Notice what it says also in verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once, or sometimes, better translated once, you who were once were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, the Gentiles were far off, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all have equal access. He is our peace. Keep that in mind and truly the blessings that we have. Thirdly, not only do we have access into grace by faith and access unto the Father, but thirdly, we have access through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Word of God says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So let's draw some conclusions to all of this. You know, Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And that access is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Other religions of the world may be moralistic, and they may have good things about them. But just keep this in mind. Even poison is 90% cornmeal when you have rat poison. That cornmeal is good stuff. Maybe the same stuff you might put in your Jiffy mix. But it's the 10% that'll kill you. And any gospel, any message, any religion that writes off or discounts Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation is another gospel that is under the curse of God. Couple of conclusions that we need to remember. We have access through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, there was a veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest, of course, could go behind that veil once a year. And when Jesus died on the cross, God ripped that veil from top to bottom, symbolizing that there was no longer a barrier. Edersheim, in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, which is a book that belongs in every pastor's library, he states that the veil before the most holy place was 60 feet long, 20 feet wide, and the thickness of that veil was the palm of one's hand, the entire breadth of it. Just think of it when the veil of the temple was rent. For sure, we know that we have direct access to God through Christ. But you know, as a believer in Christ, are you really utilizing that access? If we really realize that we had access 24/7, do we pray as often as we should? Do we rely and commune with the Lord as much as we should? We have direct access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. No visa, no appointment, no passcodes. As believers in Christ, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to pray through anyone else. You don't have to get permission from Saint Lazarus or the Virgin Mary. You don't have to go to your pastor or to your priest. You can come directly before the Lord. You don't have to confess your sins through anyone else. Go to a priest in a confessional. The Word of God says, our Lord gives us the promise if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'd like to conclude our thoughts on our access to God by challenging us who rent the veil now, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are reminded in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful gift of eternal life that you've given to us. And Lord, we thank you for the promise of divine access that we have before your throne of grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, regardless of our social status here on the earth, recognized or ignored by men, Lord, we have the right to come through what Jesus did for us. So, Lord, may we come boldly before your throne of grace and present our needs. And, Lord, there's one prayer that you're prepared to hear that is prayed and can be prayed by everyone on this earth, and that's the prayer, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And I pray that if there's one listening to this message that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior and has never come to the foot of the cross realizing their unworthiness and sinfulness, for all of us are sinners, Lord, and how that sin has separated us as we've seen through Adam and Eve. Lord, thank you that Jesus came as that last Adam to reconcile man unto himself if we'll come and receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Bless us, Lord, and may we truly use and rely upon this access. And we thank you for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.